Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, we are back, and our guest this week, so delighted. Let the people know who she is.
Well, she's a writer on Thundercats Roar and a host of the podcast Celebrity News Right Home, and she has a morning show every day on Twitch called Jack AM. It's Kate Raft.
Yay.
Hi.
Thank you for doing our podcast, Kate.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited. I'm a big fan, big fan.
We're a big fan of yours. You're a true Renaissance woman.
Wow, thank you. I really try very, very hard. Thank you.
You're like a combination of high and low culture. Like, you are a true artist, I believe, a true actual painter with things to say. And like, mm-hmm,
which is definitely high, yeah.
Which is very high.
So high.
But mm-hmm. Then you love a trashy celebrity story.
You know, I love a tabloid. I love a tabloid. I love to know a celebrity's baby's weight.
It does. That's how you know someone.
Do you prefer knowing that to like what they're actually like doing the career wise? Do you prefer like the tawdry? Like, do you care about like Kim Kardashian's fashion line?
No, not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. I have like bought some products from the Kardashians, regrettably, but
sure.
I don't
were
feel proud of that.
Poor quality or just?
Yeah. So I bought this like Kim Kardashian highlighter and contour stick and the makeup itself was pretty good, but mm-hmm. the thing like broke in half, like the second week that I owned it. So it's like not like they're not making it well. It's like not a good product.
It's the fast fashion of makeup, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Have you always been like a celebrity fan? Like,
I mean, yeah, thing? Like I grew up with like a People magazine mom.
Oh, nice.
So you like crossword puzzles.
Love a celebrity crossword puzzle. Love to have I feel a thrill when I hold a People magazine in my hand. I'm usually on an airplane when it happens. Mm-hmm. It really calms me.
It is a calming piece of text.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even a magazine.
It's text.
It's a text.
Glossy text is all it is.
It seems to me, but I feel like we have reached a saturation point. Like right now, there's a certain mood towards celebrities of like, you know what? Just shut the hell up.
Yeah.
You know, like people are like, have had it with celebrities at the moment.
Oh yeah, it's actually a great time to be a fan of celebrity gossip because you like don't even really feel bad about doing the gossip anymore.
Right.
Just like, oh well, like they're rich and we're all poor, so like fuck it.
How would you say the celebrities are coping?
They're not doing well. Okay. Celebrities, like, I mean, you guys understand, we're all comedians and we do podcasting and stuff. You need a certain amount of attention just to get by, but sure. Celebrities need like extra. They need mm-hmm. like they're used to a threshold of like getting attention that has now been like completely, you know,
undercut.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Like there's no fans anywhere except for like on their phones, and it's hard for them. It's hard for them. They don't have there's no press for them to do right now. It's hard. It's hard.
On some level, every celebrity is an only child, I guess.
Yeah, I think that like happens to you when you become famous. I can't tell for sure because I'm not famous, but I feel like that's what happens.
Well, you have a fan. Mm. Speaking of celebrities.
When you become famous. Yes. When a star is born.
When a star is born.
I know.
That's the movie we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. John, tell us a little bit about A Star is Born 2018.
Well, 2018. A Star is Born 2018. It's a romantic musical drama film produced and directed by Bradley Cooper, written by Cooper, Eric Roth, and Will Fetters. It stars Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, Dave Chappelle, Andrew Dice Clay, and Sam Elliott, and it follows a hard-drinking musician who discovers and falls in love with a young singer. It is the third remake of the original 1937 film, also done in 1954 and 1976. It grossed over $436 million and received eight Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actor, and it won for Best Original Song for Lady Gaga's Shallow.
So, Kate, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Star is Born 2018?
You know, Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born is so good. I love it. It's like, honestly, like one of my favorite movies. I know that it's wrong to feel that way, probably.
I don't think it's wrong.
I mean, it's like, I'm just a diehard Lady Gaga fan, like from the beginning.
Sure.
Like I've been a little monster from the jump. So of course I was going to like this movie no matter what. But I think I just like emotionally, like I was like, I'm ready to watch this. I know I'm going to like it. But then it really did impress me. Like, I loved it. I saw it in theaters like four times.
Okay.
The first time was accidentally in French because I was accidentally on vacation in France.
I've made that wrong turn myself.
I know. And I actually had the trip at the same time when the movie came out. And I was like, well, I have to see it opening weekend. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize I was buying tickets for a not English version of the movie. It was fully dubbed over in French. So I feel like I messed up my initial viewing of the movie. So I've had to like double and triple down on liking it ever since then.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I feel like I have to make up for seeing it for the first time in dubbed French, a language I don't speak.
And you famously have a thesis. Can
yes.
we talk
and
about
so,
this?
Yes, let's talk about it. Okay, so I had this theory and I turned it into a PowerPoint show and then eventually a live show. And it's called Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born takes place in an alternate reality where 9/11 never happened.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Can we unpack this in a quick soundbite?
Yeah. Basically, my theory is that it's like there's a lot of plot holes in the movie. There's some questions people have. It definitely doesn't pass the Bechdel test, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So my theory makes all of those questions like go away. It's basically like if you think of it as a film in an alternate timeline, which is like a kind of a kinder but weirder and slightly off like
close
reality,
to the one we know, but a little
close
different.
To the one we know, but like, yeah, like 9/11 never happened.
Okay.
Trump never became president. Rock country fusion music is way more popular than it is now.
right.
Like, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So that's so I have a whole like I literally do an hour. I have an hour of material about this theory. So
wow.
I believe it.
There are no references to the Twin Towers.
No one talks about it at all.
No one hears Osama bin Laden's name uttered.
Not once.
At a country music concert, no less.
I know. Mm-hmm. Here's one of my pieces of evidence. It's that Alec Baldwin's hosting the season finale of SNL in the movie. Because they wouldn't have him hosting the finale if he's doing the Trump impression like every week.
That's true.
That's not a slot.
Special. Right. Mm-mm.
That's not a slot you give to Alec Baldwin.
The season finale.
You get like,
it feels like the understudy is coming on.
Yeah. You're going to get someone else for that slot.
A Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to get a Gal Gadot.
Maybe Allie for both.
Honestly, like, I'm shocked that Allie didn't get booked for both, but she was so new.
It was her first album. Yeah.
Yeah, she was so new.
So you are a hardcore Star Is Born fan. That's great.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore Star Is Born
fan. But then how about the other versions of Star Is Born? Are you familiar with those? Do you like those? Are you...
Never saw them.
None of them. All right, cool.
John, what's your backstory with Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born?
With Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born? Well, I saw it. I don't know if it was the day it came out, but I definitely saw it the weekend it came out. I think it's a very good movie. It's like better than it needs to be in a lot of ways, I think. I think it's very solid. This was only my second time watching it, but I enjoyed it anew. How about you, Mark?
It was also my second. I saw it for the first time in a crowded theater, and it was like, came out in the summer, didn't it? No.
It was October.
Oh, October. Never mind. I just remember it was hot, right. And it was a real escape.
October 14th.
A date which will live in infamy.
Yeah. It was so hot that day.
I hadn't seen it since it came out either, but it, like, obviously it holds up really well. I mean, not much has happened since.
Not much has aged technology-wise.
Not much has aged technology-wise, but I think it's, like, super old-fashioned in the best way, but, like, presented in a modern sensibility. You know, the story is literally as old as time, but the filmmaking and the craft of it feels really relevant.
And I feel like their performances are just so good.
They're great.
Like, yeah, they're great. And they have great chemistry. Like, they're a little like theater school-y at certain points, but like, I want that out of a Lady Gaga movie. Like, that's what I want when I'm watching Lady Gaga.
And is that what you want megastars to be like in some way?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I mean, you're also you're doing A Star Is Born. They're not redoing, you know, Schindler's List.
You want them in a bathtub, like, improvising, like, insults at each other.
Well, popping pills.
Exactly.
Right. Well, Kate, as you may or may not know, but it sounds like you do, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. And to do that, we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with a bunch of categories. And at the end, well, now it's kind of in the middle, you will add a category and it could become canon. We're having a hard time saying things in
the syncing up is a little tough, but it's all right.
You're doing great.
So let me tell you where we're at right now. This is only the second movie to use our new scoring system.
Updated scoring system. So it's very exciting.
It's been updated. So here I'll run down the top five. Number five, Adam's Family Values at 61.99%. Number four, 9 to 5 at 62.63%. Number three, Meet Me in St. Louis with 66.49%. Number two, The Muppets Take Manhattan, 69.17%. And the new number one movie is Funny Girl with 76.52%. Now, wow. I should say, quick side note, that is a higher percentage than it got when
initially
we recorded.
Announced.
Because now we take the bonus points are not a detriment. So say every movie now has a base possible 2,000 points, and then there's the bonus points. So we take those bonus. If you score, let's say 150 bonus points, then the total, we'll figure out the percentage by adding the 150 bonus points to the 2,000. So your total is 150. So make that nothing gets over 100%. Because if that starts, then it's chaos.
Right. Then quarantine will never end.
Honestly, right. Yeah, I'm impressed by the math. It's a lot of numbers.
It's a lot of
and
numbers.
I don't think I could handle that amount of numbers, so I'm impressed.
My brother handles most of them. Okay. So I just tell him what I need and he makes it happen. All right, first category, homoeroticism. Kate, how homoerotic is Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born?
It's out of 100, right?
Yes, out of 100, yes.
Okay. How homoerotic? I would say it's pretty homoerotic.
Yeah, there's a
you
lot.
Know,
I mean,
there's
like,
some gratuitous shots of his body, and like he gets that shot of steroids in his bare ass.
We get that. I think when Willem is like the way Willem like very aggressively flirts with him, there's something very sort of homoerotic, sort of trade-y.
There's a
about
little
that,
something there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it like an 80.
An 80?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that high?
I think that's high for like 45 seconds of a movie, but sure, I don't want
right.
to
don't
tell you
it.
You're wrong.
Okay, you know, I felt it though, but I am
I think you should stay strong at 80. Don't let anyone bully you.
He really is like really hitting on Bradley Cooper's character, Willem. So
yeah, and I also feel like that whole like Bradley Cooper going into the bar, there's this whole weird sense of like, oh, are we going to turn this really like hetero straight guy? I think there's like something.
I did not get that at all.
I mean, like, it's not healthy. It's not a healthy thing to get. I'm not advocating for it, but I think it has that sort of like, oh, are we going to get, you know what I mean? Like, oh,
are we going to turn a straight man?
Are we going to turn Mel Gibson tonight at this drag bar?
Well, nobody wants to turn. Let me tell you, nobody wants to turn Mel Gibson anymore. Women can have him.
There's one other moment. You know, in the, okay, so it's like the first scene where she's like trying to hook up with Jackson Maine, but he passes out.
Yeah.
So she goes to her friend in the hallway.
Yeah.
And he's like, just show him your titties. It'll wake him up.
Yeah.
And like, then you hear like giggling in the background. So I think that guy is like fucking someone.
But I'm sure listened to that too. I thought it was like a woman giggling in the background.
I thought it was a hookup. A guy.
You can hook up with a woman. As far as I know.
That guy is not hooking up. Anthony Ramos is not hooking up with a woman.
He's married to a woman in real life.
Not in. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not gay. I looked it. Please. For this podcast, I looked it up. Okay. He's straight.
Oh, okay.
Or he identifies. Oh, wow. He's married. Are you sure? He is not publicly gay.
Okay. Hmm,
all right.
I'm sorry to tell you that.
I mean, don't apologize to me.
So what are you going to give it on homoeroticism, Kate?
Kate. She gave it an 80.
You're sticking with 80. All right.
Sticking with 80 because of the giggling and the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think there's not a lot of like male on male stuff going on here. So I'm going to, but there is some stuff. And that definitely, it's, I mean, Bradley Cooper as the director is very horny for Bradley Cooper, the actor. I mean, we've got to say that.
I mean, if I had a body like that, could you blame him?
I mean, I don't blame him, but it's definitely there. Yeah. I'll give it a 45.
45.
I went too high.
Don't worry about it.
I've got too excited.
It's all okay.
If ever you want me to go first, just say so and I'll go first.
Okay.
But I like it when the guest goes first because it makes them uncomfortable.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, right?
That's why you do a podcast.
I mean, I've listened to this podcast many times. I don't know why I went. You know, I just...
It's okay.
I'll do better.
I'm going to give it a 18. It wasn't that homoerotic for me.
Fair enough.
All right, next category, actual gay characters.
I mean, there's a ton.
There's a ton. Yeah. That drag bar alone.
Yeah. The drag bar alone.
Yeah.
The doorman. Everyone. Everyone. Yeah. Everyone was gay.
Everyone's
doorman,
gay.
Her friend. At first, I thought he was the door. He was like at the door. Anthony Ramos.
Do you think the guy at the rehab place was gay?
Ron Rifkin?
He could have been.
I mean, anyone could be.
Anyone could.
But the implication is people that we know from the movie.
Okay,
you know
you're
I mean?
Right, you're right, you're right. Okay.
Otherwise, you take into account 20, you know, there's 25,000 people at that concert.
That's true.
At an alley concert, there are definitely gay people there.
Sure.
There are definitely gay people there.
But I think it's actual. So what do we see? What do we know?
Well, it's one of those weird movies where, like, it's epic, but there's really only a handful of characters that you really
it's
follow
epic,
at all.
It's epic yet intimate.
Yes.
There's way more gay characters in the movie than there are women at all.
That is true.
As it should be.
Yeah.
But the gay men are dressed as women, so it's kind of a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. Yeah. Okay, so gay characters in the movie, 60?
60.
I'm going to go 70 because of the choreographer.
Oh.
I always give an extra 10 points if you have a choreographer.
Good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
I'll give it 50. There's a good chunk. I think there's a lot of gay representation in this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that gives an average of 80. So give Eat Shit Funny Girl with 39.33. Can this dethrone Funny Girl? I don't know.
We'll find out.
It's
we'll
like,
I think so.
It's like it's Funny Girl, but relevant. So
ouch.
Next category, camp factor. How campy is a Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born?
Camp is so like not quite what this movie is, right?
I wouldn't say it's not campy.
It's definitely camp. It's like over the top, but it's like, is it campy?
I think it's the fourth version of a movie. It's campy.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's
I guess that's true.
There's that alone, but I also understand what you're saying, like, there's you
because he's kind of like it's like he's not, I don't know if he's trying to make it campy. I guess that's what makes it campy.
I think he's trying to do the grounded version of it, but the story
but there's still
is
moments that you
campy.
Can't yeah like Lady Gaga starts a bar fight at a cop bar, like that's
I
campy.
Know that's pretty campy.
She sings an Edith Piaf song.
Yeah,
that's campy.
That's campy. I think I just expected it to be campier than it ended up being, you know what I mean.
Like, if it was worse, it'd be campier.
Someone else go first.
All right. John,
I think
you
for me,
go?
Sure. I think what makes this Star Is Born very different than the previous ones is how, like, it really looks more. It actually feels like it's more of Bradley Cooper's movie than it is of that character in the other versions, I think. And they really, like, focus a lot on his addiction and all of that. And that gets more looked at, and I think, than previous versions, which makes it feel less campy. But I do think there's a ton of camp in the movie. I think it's inherent. I mean, you know, like, he gets drunk and pisses himself at an award show. You know what I mean? Like, that's campy. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's true.
Like, it's going for these notes that are so, like, at these big reaches that it's going for. And I do think, by and large, hits them. I think, like, with camp, there is that thing of, like, there's almost, like, the failure of it makes it feel extra campy, like a Mommy Dearest. But I think it's a pretty campy movie, so I'm going to go 80 on this one.
80.
Okay, I'm going to go 82.
82. I have a quick list of campy things in A Star Is Born.
I can't wait.
I'm so ready.
First thing, a Live Nation Productions title card. Being directed by Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. A woman screaming, fucking men. Coming up with a song on the spot.
Yeah.
Leaving LA to fly to the Greek theater. It's very weird.
So true.
That very quick, the fastest way.
The character of Gail welcoming Allie to the concert.
Yeah, she's great.
The lyric,
Gail is pure camp.
I love Gail. The lyric, your music to my eyes. Screaming, you sold Dad's ranch. A slimy music producer. All that cake smearing.
Yeah.
So much.
A celebrity in rehab. A tearful apology about pissing on the stage at the Grammys. Sam Elliott tearfully backing up a Dodge Ram truck. A pre-show prayer with your dancers. And then the fact that the last most Oscar Beatty song isn't that good.
Oh. Yeah. I hate to hear it, but it is not wrong.
It's not that wrong. It sounds like a Disney end credit song.
Yeah, it's
so we're it's Diane pretty. Warren. It's not. Is it the campiest movie? But no, it's pretty campy. But I'll give it a 55.
Okay, those were some good campy moments.
I thought. Thank
Thank you
Bradley
for your
Cooper.
Research, Mark.
I always I make a list. All right, next category. I'll give it an average of 72.83. Funny Girl,
86.33. Okay,
slip in. All right, next category. Over the top wardrobe.
Okay.
Well, there's the drag show.
There's the drag show.
I feel like as she's becoming famous, it gets very sort of over the top as well.
But even that stuff's not over the top for like a pops. Like the Lady Gaga, like her Stupid Love outfits are, that's over the top. Chromatica.
Okay, but that scene where she goes to visit him in rehab. And
I wrote that down. Yes.
Like that is so...
She's wearing a blouse with the print that says O-O-O-O-O all over it with like red and black striped pleather pants.
That outfit is enough for me to score it high on, what was the category?
Over the top wardrobe.
Yeah.
Like, you don't wear that outfit to a room of addicts. Like, if anything's going to make them relapse,
it's
that outfit.
It's that pattern.
And he wears a lot of cowboy hats, which is very like.
Yeah, his is like very hetero over the top, I feel like, his look. Like, it is very costumey. Like, it's almost like a paper doll. You would just put the hat and the other things over him.
Yeah, he's doing like drag king, like cowboy hat, like.
Like, who is, I was trying to figure out, who is he, like, analogous to, like, Jackson Maine?
Okay, so this is a part of my PowerPoint.
Right, okay, let's hear it.
But one of my cases for why this movie takes place in an alternate reality where 9/11 never happened is that we don't have, like, a proper analogous person that is as famous as Jackson Maine in our real world, which is why, like, the genre of country-ish rock music is way more popular in that timeline than our timeline, because country music became more Republican after the Dixie Chicks went up against George W. Bush, so that genre slid more to the right and became like less inclusive and became less popular in the mainstream. Anyway, Bradley Cooper gave an interview and said he based it on Eddie Vedder, and I don't know who that is.
From Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Grunge.
I mean, I know who that is now, but I
sure.
Don't
oh, I see. Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so who's Lady Gaga supposed to be? Herself?
Just a pop star, I guess.
I think it's supposed to be Lady Gaga. I think I read some article that was like the first time Bradley Cooper met Lady Gaga, he like wanted her to take her makeup off and like wanted her to like wanted to call her Stephanie, and like they have some weird relationship where
is he like a Svengali to her or something?
Yeah, I think he kind of sees her as like, I see you as the stripped down version of yourself.
I want to mold like, you, what you really are.
I don't like that. I think
it's like a controlling issue there.
You should let Lady Gaga be crazy.
She's doing fine.
That's her true self. Yeah. Let her do that.
But I think she probably likes it. I probably bet in this world, she likes that someone's like, no, you aren't going to wear that. No, we are going to do this. You know what I mean? Like the idea that she's like, okay, I have to not be the dom all the time.
I think at this point in her career, it's like a good time for a Bradley Cooper to swoop in and tell her to take her makeup off.
Sure.
Right. I think she had been like broken down a little bit from like the industry and stuff.
So what are you going to give this on Over the Top Wardrobe?
Oh, whew. 71.
71.
I'm going to go, it's not too over the top. Like most of the overtopness is like organic.
Sure.
So I'll give it a 63.
Yeah, it's pretty grounded, but there's some fun. I'll give it a 55.
All righty.
Yeah, like the eyebrows, the peel off
those
eyebrows.
Are fun.
Right. That's great.
All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Bradley Cooper Star is Born and come away inspired?
Yeah.
I mean, hell yeah.
How many
literal drag queens?
Yeah.
And I also feel like this movie, because of like what it is, like there's a way in which it sort of is built on its own legend, in that it's like, oh, it's Lady Gaga who's joining the ranks of Barbra Streisand, who's joining the ranks of Judy Garland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there's something about you. I feel like you have to give it points for just like the sort of generational inspiration this title has. Among drag queens, especially.
It's like cementing her iconic status.
She's on the Mount Rushmore now.
Totally.
She's got to be. We all love Lady Gaga.
I mean, I haven't seen a Star is Born drag performance, but I've seen tons of Gaga drag performances. Mm,
yeah.
Like everything, she coughs and like a drag queen turns it into like
a remix. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 95.
95.
Yeah, I'm going to go 97.
97. I'll give it a 90 because I still think there's more iconic Gaga looks.
Fair.
Sure.
Except what's the most iconic look of hers from this, do you think? Is it the shallow?
That or like her in that red hair, because it's so distinct and unlike other looks she's had, if I were to see someone in that, I would go, oh, that's Gaga Star is Born.
But that look as like her pop star look is so bland in a way, you know?
I feel like you could do her Le Vie en Rose song.
Yeah, that's a good
there
one.
There you go.
Like, that's a good drag look, and it's easy to recreate because it's like...
It's on a dime.
It's on a dime. I've recreated it myself. I do that in my live show. I perform Lady Gaga doing that.
What a treat.
Wow.
And I buy black electrical tape, and I like put it above my eyebrows.
Wow.
It's very easy. It's very easy to do.
What?
Don't all right. Magic.
Sorry, it's just black electrical tape.
All right, our next category. How likely are you to recommend this to gay people? So your little nephew, Bimothy, comes to you and tells you...
Your nephew, Bimothy?
Yeah, he was gay from the get-go.
Yeah.
Was he conceived during a quarantine?
Who wasn't?
Who wasn't? Yeah, I mean, I would. I would recommend this to Bimothy.
Yeah. So on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to?
How likely? I mean.
Like, would you consider this gay essential viewing?
Gay essential viewing. That's a tough question. Wait, can someone else go first for this one?
I think this goes, for me, I think it goes high because, again, it is this sort of legendary sort of generational appeal of A Star is Born. And so there's something about like, oh, yeah, seeing this story told out in lots of different ways. There's something like that's interesting to sort of dissect and talk about like how the different roles of women were in different movies and whatnot. So I think it is pretty high up there. I mean, if it's just like gay person has one movie to watch for the rest of their life, would it be the 2018 A Star is Born? Probably not. That would probably be the Judy Garland of Star is Born. But it comes highly recommended for me. So I'll say 95.
95.
Yeah. I would say if I had a loved one and they hadn't seen this movie, and especially if they were gay, I would say, stop what you're doing. We're sitting down and watching this right now. I mean, all the gay people in my life have already seen it, so I've never been in that situation.
One day.
You will meet that rare gay man who has not seen Bradley Cooper's
Gay women in my yeah. The gay women in my life have seen it. Ugh. The bisexuals in my life have seen Ugh. It.
Well, that's a different category.
I'm very blessed to know the full spectrum of queer in my
Congratulations.
Life. Has seen A Star Is Born. Nice. I would say 95.5. Can you do, no, wait, 96.
Go to 96.
Sure.
Round it up.
I think I could do decimal points, but that's fine.
No, don't do it. Okay. Don't do it.
There's a slippery slope we're going down then.
I'll mess up the whole system. That's like 10 times more math.
I think it's everyone. You should much see this instead of Funny Girl. This is entertaining, and it's done in half the time.
It is not nice quite. And short.
It's two hours like 15 2 hours
minutes.
And
it's
10.
Not nice and short.
It's like 2:10.
I think there's a 4-hour cut somewhere.
I'm sure there is. Literally, Funny Girl is like 15 minutes longer than this movie, and you're like,
But I think everyone should watch this, especially just for that pissing at the Grammys scene alone.
Sure.
And also as a warning, don't date an alcoholic. I'll give it a 57.
Don't date them when they're still when they're still a raging alcoholic.
Sure.
You can date anyone when they're
they dealt
that.
With their shit.
Yeah.
All right, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? In this case, well, you got an actor director. Hello, narcissist.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually so horny for himself.
But there's only those, like, two real shots, though. Like, he's pretty restrained otherwise. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen worse.
Well, I think also, like, it's not like he's horny for her. Like, they had a couple of sort of scenes where you saw, like, his back, like, his torso was basically covering her. I noticed a lot of it that, like, he wasn't, like, making her be objectified that often.
There's only one shot of nudity from her, and it's like could not be less sexual.
Right.
It's like it's like a very like I like that moment a lot because it's like, oh, like this is just like a real like an angry woman's naked
right
body.
It feels like how you actually would see how you do actually see naked people in your life sometimes. You just happen to, you know.
It's way high, but his shots of his body are like, I would say, like, extra
they're
sexual.
More gratuitous.
Yes, definitely.
They're sexual in scenes that aren't sexual.
But even how they're framed is pretty, like, the whole thing's pretty, like, grounded. Like, he's pretty, he's got a firm grasp as a director, I would say, in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Okay, I'm gonna give this a 83.
I'm going to say it's definitely gayer for Cooper than it is for Gaga. I'll give it an 80.
I mean, you only have like two shots in this whole thing, so I'm going to give it a 25.
All right.
That's fair.
But hey, that given an average of 62.67, Funny Girl 16.33. So it's trouncing Funny Girl.
Oh my goodness.
All right, next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah. I think Jackson's entrance, like, you see everything you need to know. You see the pills, the booze, and he sings in front of an adoring crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her entrance onto the stage is like a big...
That's the Shallow song. That's a huge one.
Yeah, that's like a famous scene from the movie, I feel like.
I feel like if you had to pick a scene to sum up A Star Is Born, it'd be that scene.
And that's an entrance scene. It's a scene of entrance.
She's being introduced to the world.
Yes.
On YouTube.
Yeah. I would give this a high score. It's like, let's say 74.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's not that many.
It's
of those
two,
kind of
really. The ones
But those are both very good.
They're very good. Iconic, I would say.
Iconic, yeah.
Especially Shallow.
There's another entrance we didn't talk about, which is equally as iconic, when Sam Elliott randomly shows up at SNL.
Oh, right.
That's right. But that's more of like a stealth entrance. I would say Sam Elliott almost eschews pizzazz.
Yes.
Like
I felt the pizzazz, but that could just be me.
You're projecting pizzazz.
Okay. It's possible. Yeah. I don't think he's like anti-pizzazz, but I think he is just himself not pizzazz.
I am just thinking about like the security measures he would have to go through to surprise
to get into Studio 8H.
On
that night, it's tough. It's very tough.
And to me, like the hoops to jump through in 30 Rockefeller Center is pizzazz. Sure.
Oh, I gotcha. Sure, sure, sure. He had to pizzazz his way up into that elevator. I'll give it a 60 for entrances with pizzazz.
60. I'll give it a 55. There's only those two, but they're pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category, dramatic lighting.
I mean, there's tons of dramatic lighting.
Tons. For being such a grounded movie, they do a great job.
I know. Well, also, like, I think he does take advantage of, like, concert footage. So, like, the lighting definitely feels, like, heightened and very, like...
Sure, but there's also that one shot after he, like, spoiler, hangs himself. Mm-hmm. And there's you see the cop lights and then the house is red. Like, that looks great.
I love that shot. It's so eerie. I love that shot. Really dramatic.
Yeah, and like all the paparazzi bulbs in the car and all that, you know.
And when she's walking through the dumpster alleyway at the opening, in the opening, that's sort of dramatic lighting.
That's definitely
it's like
dramatic
a dramatic, light. Yeah. I would give it I'm going to give it a 90.
90.
Yeah, I'm going to go 92 for dramatic lighting.
92. I'll give it 88.
All righty.
Give it an average of 90.
Yay.
All right, next category, strident women.
Okay, what does this mean exactly?
It's like a woman who's not afraid to stick up for herself and like tell you, I'll put out a cigarette in your mashed potatoes.
Right.
I mean, there's not that many examples. There's not that many women in the movie, first of all.
There's just Gaga and Gail.
Gail is like the opposite of strident.
Gail's helpful.
I mean,
she's helpful, but that's not right. But she's
well,
still
we
like, here's
seen Gail
everything.
Put to the test. I don't think you can get away with shit with Gail. If you try to like,
okay, but that's
her,
well, that's what we're talking about. What we've seen in the movie, as opposed
well, you're
to what
projecting
we're projecting
weakness
happening.
Onto her. And I don't
I'm not projecting weakness. I'm projecting. I'm saying I did not get a sense of stridentness from her.
So it's all.
I definitely think she's
much.
Capable. I think she's more. I think she's more than capable. I would be happy if she heeded me every time I drove up somewhere.
Okay, if Gail walked you through the backstage area of a concert like place, you would feel safe, you'd feel secure, you'd feel like Gail's gonna fuck 100%. Up anybody that gets in our way. No one's fucking with
she's
Gail.
Literally striding through the back,
but I don't think she does it with stridence. I think she does it with sort of like a love and a very sense of like, you're like, this woman is
you
could capable.
Be strident with love. They're not mutually
I think you
exclusive.
Can I'm not saying you can't, I'm just saying she isn't.
This Gail,
I just feel
slander.
Like she's Gail is like a sweetness. She's sort of like, like if you were to be like, oh, actually her uncle is Mr. Rogers, I'd be like, of course he is.
Yeah maybe.
So I think that leaves us with just Allie, but I think how I feel she's so fundamentally different from Gaga herself is that she doesn't have that sort of like inner strength of like, no, this is what I want and I'm going for.
She does though. She defends her like what he thought was a trashy pop song. Like she doesn't back down and say, you're right, I did have a song with stupid lyrics. You had a song that says your music is the rhyme of whatever that dumb, like his lyrics are just as stupid as hers. Like the scene in the bathtub, she literally stands up for herself.
Yeah, she's like, she's strident in that
but
scene.
But I think
and
like
she's...
Gaga was never going to be like, oh, if Gaga was offered the opportunity to go on stage, she wouldn't be like, no, I can't. She'd be like, yeah, get out of my way. Like
I'm
I feel like that
Allie
way.
Is no pushover.
I would, well, she's also really like, I like the scenes where she's like with her dad, like she kind of sticks it to her dad a couple times. She like says some line where she's like, you know, he's an alcoholic, you know about alcoholics, like, I don't know, alluding to whatever backstory that's supposed to be about, but like, she talks back to like a lot of the men.
She's
in the
not
movie.
Like
she
a pushover, but she's not as like driven as I feel like the real life Gaga.
Well, it's just
is.
The birth of a star, maybe the middle age of a star. She'll be more, you know what I mean? Lady Gaga wasn't always Lady Gaga.
Well, I feel like Lady Gaga became Lady Gaga because she woke up every morning going, how can I become Lady Gaga today? And Allie has a whole lot of that. Like, no, my nose is too big. No, they said this. No.
That's true. She's a little more.
She needs some more encouragement, I feel like.
I think you're right. And there's like a whole bunch of the movie where she does like just kind of like enable his alcoholism. Like that scene in the party where she's like, he's always like this. Right. It's like, that's very much not.
Well, there's
like
such a power imbalance in their relationship.
Yeah, and she gets kind of like a little like meeker and he softens her, but then that makes her less strident.
So what are we going to give this for strident women?
You know, it's tough. I'm going to say 49.
49.
I'm going to go 30.
30. I will go 39.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've all made our case. All right. Next category. Macabre. How macabre is the Star is Born?
So macabre.
I think it's pretty macabre.
He kills himself.
There's an extended suicide sequence.
There's a suicide story about how he tried to hang himself when he was 12.
Yeah.
Like, that's so dark.
Also, like, Andrew Dice Clay's weird monologue about nobodies, that was just, like, so out of nowhere and weird and so dark.
Weird.
Didn't like that. And I also thought signing Willem's boobs, there was something sort of
that was macabre about
that. It's slightly, like, distasteful.
What's macabre about that? Distasteful? I don't know. Weird. There's something distasteful about signing a drag queen's fake boobs?
Yes, I just didn't care for it.
You don't want to sully a fake
very creepy
boobs.
To me. Yeah, exactly.
God, the integrity of fake boobs.
of those silicone.
Do you ever think about, like, if you got really wealthy, what movie prop you would buy?
Oh,
ooh, that's a good one.
That's one that I would die for. I'd love to have Willem's fake boobs from Star Wars.
Oh, I bet he took them. A Batmobile.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Sure.
So what are we going to give this for macabre?
90.
This is one of the most macabre movies ever made.
Okay, let me think about it.
Don't get bullied. Don't get bullied. I'm just, stay
this
90.
Is not reacting is not bullying, John. Jesus.
Sure. Okay.
Your Honor. It's like a movie about him killing himself, like from start to finish.
Yeah, it's a long suicide note.
I really do think so. I think it's a movie about a man's death. And, like, she's along for the ride. It's not her movie. It's his suicide movie. Mm-hmm.
Are they saying A Star is Born because his death makes him legendary, therefore he will live forever as a star?
Yes.
Is the title referring to him and not her? Or both?
I haven't seen the other versions, so I don't know if they're, like, exactly like that. But it definitely feels like his movie. And it's a movie about, like, addiction.
I think
and
they all die. The men all die, I think.
Not always, but it's often.
I say it's macabre. Okay, if 93 seems high.
That's just to me. You do whatever you want.
You can stay at a 90. Keep it at 93 if that's what you want to put it at.
I'm going to knock it down to a 92.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I think for what it is, it's pretty macabre. But there's I'm gonna go, it's not super macabre, I'm gonna go 76.
Trombones led the funeral parade.
Exactly.
I'm gonna give it 62. I think anytime you're showing an extended suicide sequence, almost showing you how to do it.
I know.
13 reasons why
real
much?
Tutorial.
Always give the dog a steak.
Right? Reason. That's never a good sign when you're giving the dog a steak. Mm-mm. Also, that steak was too big for that dog.
I know. I would be worried that my dog would choke.
Yeah, it's going to get sick. Cut it up. God.
Cut it up. So rude.
Cut that steak up.
All right. Next category. Wigs. How many wigs are in A Star is Born?
So many wigs. The drag queen wigs. Her red hair. She did not dye it for that.
No. That was a wig.
Like, it's wig heavy.
Wig heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not wearing a wig.
I don't think he's wearing a wig. No.
But I think...
But, like, everyone else in every scene is wearing a wig, pretty much. Sam Elliott probably isn't. Or Dave Chappelle.
There's probably a wig in every scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say wiggly, it's high.
Yeah.
It's a high score.
It's a high score. I feel like there's not an iconic wig, though.
No.
You don't think the orange hair is iconic?
It's up there. It's not, like, super iconic, but it's definitely, like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? It's not, like, a... I don't know. What would be an iconic wig?
Hedwig,
Miranda Priestley, Divorce Prada.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, and Willem's wig is iconic outside of the Star is Born universe.
True. Right.
Just as Willem's hair. Okay. I'll give it a 89.
I'm
gonna go 83.
I'll give it a 79.
Okay.
An average of 83.67. All right, next category, quips. How quippy is A Star is Born?
It's pretty quippy. Those drag queens are all real quippy.
Yeah, Willem's very funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're so funny.
Shangela's
there's a lot of
great.
Improv. There's a lot of improv in the movie, so I feel like that lends itself to it being very quippy.
Yeah.
That fight scene is very quippy. It's like...
Is that a quip, a hurtful insult, though? That feels like...
Yeah,
it's a mean quip.
It's a mean queep.
Queep.
Mean queeps. Are there any like real like quotable lines from this? I mean, I'm trying to think like the biggest quote to me that I was like, oh right, that was his like, I just wanted another look at you. But I'm trying to think of like iconic lines. Yeah, that doesn't feel like a quip, but like
maybe you're right.
Well, I'm saying do Moroccan. That's
sure.
pretty funny. Mm-hmm. It's BYOB. Wait.
I mean, it's like, I guess the quips are kind of limited to the drag scene.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of outside of that scene. Yeah, I think it's like, I'm going to give it a, I'll give it a 45.
45. You're not coming to Jackson, Maine for laughs.
No.
Yeah, I'm also going to, I'm going to go 40.
40. Yeah, I'll give it a 31. Yeah. All right, next category should do very well here. Vibrato. How much vibrato is in the movie?
I mean,
well, there's the literal vibrato.
Yeah. I mean, LaVian Rose alone.
I have to give this 100 for vibrato.
John, maybe this is a question for you, but are there like modern singers who don't have vibrato in their voice?
Well, it's like there are. Pop tends to be more straight tone. Like they don't want as much of it. Like a classic vibrato would be someone like Ethel Merman, and like her voice had that sort of like
right. That
extra thickness to it. And that's like, so you want a little bit in pop music, but you don't want a whole lot.
But is there anyone who's like a famous singer who doesn't have any vibrato?
No, because it's also like a tool that you use. You know what I mean? It's not like an ingredient you have or don't have. It's like, oh yeah, you're always going to use that, and that like the way you're going to use volume, or you know what I mean? Like it's
like
just
electronic sync music or
maybe,
something.
Yeah. Maybe Daft Punk.
Like Daft Punk.
Yeah.
That famous vocal duo.
R2-D2.
Yeah.
That famous vocalist. Mm-hmm. But we also use vibrato to mean the extra zhuzh of the movie, you know? Is there any in the filmmaking where they just, everything's a little extra?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in this movie. There's a ton of that.
Ton.
So what would you give it? Or do you have an example?
I like that scene in the drag bar where she like lays down on the bar and looks at Bradley Cooper like in between beats of the song.
Right.
Like, love that moment.
That's when it happens.
I'm gonna give it 100.
100.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 96.
96. You gave Funny Girl 100.
Yeah, it's a little bit more.
That's fair.
I'll give it a 90 because there's definitely a singing vibrato, but it had the extra zhuzh in the filmmaking, but it doesn't. All right, last one before we get to the wheel categories. Footwork. How much footwork is in the movie?
There's like a lot of long shots. There's a lot of dancing, so there's a lot of footwork there. There are a lot of shots where it's like a long pan to get different perspectives and points of view. I feel like that to me feels very footworky.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of choreo in the movie.
You see the learning choreo.
Yeah.
Like literal choreo.
Yeah.
Gail's got some footwork, leaning the backstage.
She has to walk on stage. That takes her feet.
So just people standing is footwork.
There's that scene where he has to like run in the dirt and like look at the windmills.
Oh yeah.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say it's a lot of footwork.
So what are you gonna give it?
I would say I'll give it a 77.
77.
I'm going to go 73.
73. I'll go 75. Split the difference.
All right.
A lot of footwork here. All right. We are now to the wheel categories.
Dun, dun,
now,
dun,
what
dun,
this
dun.
Is, these are, you're going to virtually spin a wheel 4 times, and we'll get 4 different categories out of that.
So these are all categories that were part of canon and now have joined the wheel. So are we ready?
Yes.
So our first category is tan. How tan is this movie? Now, actually, I think Bradley Cooper, apparently he had spent hours every day getting a spray tan. Like, he's very tan. That tan is very much a choice in this movie.
Okay, so there's a literal intentional tan. There's also a lot of tan furniture in his Topanga Canyon house.
That's true. A lot of beige.
Is that a real house? I love that house.
Yes, I think it was a real house in Topanga Canyon.
Gorgeous.
I would love... That's like a dream house.
Can I have that prop from a movie, the house?
Actually, you probably could.
All right, great.
Your house would have to be really big to fit another house in your house as this prop that you took
from
a movie.
I'll make it work.
I can't wait to see both those houses.
I'm the queen of Versailles. So what are you going to give this, Kate, for tan?
For tan?
How tan is it?
I would say it's, since only one character is like really, really tan, I'm going to give it 69.
69.
I'm going to go a little higher because I feel like the tan is so notable. It so calls attention to itself.
Yeah.
And it is like the lead character. So I'm going to go 74.
74. I'll give it a 70. It's pretty tan. Pretty famous tan.
Okay.
All right. Let's spin that wheel again.
Spin the wheel again. And now we've got... non-traditional murder weapon.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's the garage door, I guess.
Yeah.
I that's sadly not that untraditional, though.
He tries to hang himself on a fan when he's a kid.
That's true.
That's true.
A fan, you don't get murdered by a lot.
Now, was the slimy music manager trying to convince Jackson to kill himself?
Yeah, I actually do think so.
Do you think he was that slimy? I don't think he was like, I want you to kill yourself slimy.
He was trying to get him away, I think.
I agree, which is slimy, but I don't know that I would go all the way to murder.
Or off the wagon, which I think if you're trying to get a newly in recovery, fresh out of rehab person, like back into drinking, like that's like reckless.
Yeah.
To the point of like, you could be a murderer.
Yeah.
Is sure. it manslaughter? Maybe.
Like, the degree to which he's so mean to this guy who—it's
insane how evil this music producer is.
Yeah,
so mean. Like, that's
there's no time for nuance with that character.
No. So, what would you give this for non-traditional murder weapons?
A 41.
41, mostly for that music producer.
Mostly because, the too mean. Being mean after rehab is a non-traditional murder weapon.
I think because
Sure. I think because he uses the garage door, I'm going to give it a little bit more. So I'm going to go 53.
I'm going to give it a 50 because they are clearly trying to make it seem like it's because of this producer said something that he is doing this. All right. Giving an average of 48 in non-traditional murder weapons. Not too shabby. All right. Not spin that wheel again, John.
All righty. And now we've got... Breath acting.
All
right. This one, we've got a bunch. We've got the singing itself. I consider that breath acting. The fact that there's lip syncing at first, which is really breath acting, like at its purest.
Oh, yeah.
And I would also say Sam Elliott himself, just anytime he opens his mouth, like that voice of his. I always wanted to be like, beef, it's for dinner, or whatever that like campaign he did.
Dodge trucks. That's why he's driving a Dodge.
Oh, gotcha. You think that's part of his contract? He always has to drive a Dodge?
I mean, you're not going to give him a Toyota. A Tundra? No. Sam Elliott's not driving a Tundra.
No.
How dare you?
Not with that mustache.
Also, Sam Elliott is fantastic in this movie.
Absolutely fantastic.
So good.
He was Oscar nominated, right?
He was nominated. It's like between him and whoever won. Like people, that was like the horse
That's
race.
Usually how it works when you're nominated.
Yeah, it's usually that one person or the person who won.
So what would you give this for breath acting, Kate?
I mean, 94.
94.
It's high. There's a lot of breath.
Also, definitely I think because the fact that they recorded all the vocals live, so you can hear them go, like, take the breaths. And, like, normally all that's, like, cleaned up in the music. Like, in Funny Girl, when they cut to the music, it's like, oh, it sounds like a different movie now.
Yeah.
You know, but I love that. John, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a 93.
93. You know, I'll give it a 95. Complete the pattern.
Alrighty.
All right, spin that wheel one more time, John.
One more time.
And after this, Kate, it's time for you to add a category.
Okay.
Teamwork.
How much teamwork is in Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born? Well, they write songs together.
That's true.
Yeah.
Allie and Ramon are a little team.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, she's got like the team of people around her. Like
there's
her
the band.
The band. Yeah. It doesn't feel very teamworky though.
It's mostly just the two of them in a codependent relationship.
But they're super supportive of each other's like music for a good chunk of
that's
the movie,
true.
Which is like true, that's yes. very teamy. Like that's not really how like solo artists like usually act with other solo artists.
Right. Oh yeah. Have you dated a lot of solo artists?
You know, I've dated no solo artists, but like I just imagine like you don't see like two big like solo artists like really dating each other a lot, right?
No, just that Jay-Z and Kanye album came to mind. Watch the Throne. That's the only one I can think of.
That's true. But they never like loved each other.
We don't know.
Maybe
they did. I hope they love each other.
I mean, it's not canon. Yeah, no. I'm sure they're friends.
They're not anymore.
Oh.
It's a whole thing. It's tough. That's it for a different
podcast. Does it have to do with Taylor Swift?
Not this one, yeah.
It has to do with Beyonce not liking Kim and then Kanye going on like an hour-long rant about how Jay-Z and Beyonce suck during a concert.
That'll do it.
So teamwork.
Yeah, not a huge amount of teamwork in this movie. But there is the two of them, so I do think that's a good chunk of the movie. Because when the movie, the whole thing starts to break down is when their teamwork starts. He doesn't have her back anymore.
Right, is when they stop supporting each other.
All the queens FaceTiming her in the bathtub.
That's nice.
That's true.
Kind of a team pep talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what would you give this, Kate, for teamwork?
I'd give it a 56.
56.
I'm going to go 50 because I feel like it's not really here nor there teamwork-y.
Yeah, I'll give it a 50 as well. All right, give it an average of 52. All right, Kate, the time has come for you to add a category which could become canon in about 20 episodes. But for the future episodes, it will just be added to the
wheel.
Okay, and a billboard.
A billboard.
The billboard, okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know how I should phrase it, like an iconic billboard or just like any, like a fake. Like,
how about legendary billboard?
Yeah, like a legendary or like clearly fake for the movie billboard. Fake. Or like,
is there something about fake billboards that make a movie gayer to you?
Yeah, I think so. I can't explain how.
Like, it's definitely camp.
I think like if you make a billboard for a movie and like that's campy as
and that really the idea was like someone there, right? That was a real billboard they made, right?
No, it was fake. Totally.
I thought it looked really fake.
Yeah, that's why it's so great. That's why the billboard is so great, because it's like not even good. Like, it's just a bad.
They have all their budget. They were like, oh, wait, quick.
They were like, oh, shit, we got to pay like someone's niece to make this billboard.
Yeah. And it's so funny that it's Ally, or is it Ally? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's such a. It's
so padding itself.
It works on levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say just like legendary billboards or just billboards in general.
I mean, is this one of the legendary billboard of this decade? Absolutely. You know, or the previous decade?
Yeah.
I can't think of another one.
I can't think of a movie that has more of an iconic billboard.
The only thing that came to mind was those Chick-fil-A cows. That's it.
But that's not a movie.
No, but it's an iconic billboard as well. I mean.
Oh, right, totally. Right.
And the STD.
Chlamydia and a volcano.
Yeah, sure.
Those are special to LA.
That'll haunt me forever.
Yeah.
I love that one.
There's no shame in having chlamydia, John. So, Kate, what are you going to give it for billboards? A billboard.
100.
100 makes sense.
Yeah, I'll go 100 for legendary billboard. Why not?
I mean, I think you got to. If not this, then what? All right. So now we are into the bonus round. These are things we all have to essentially will agree on a percentage of 0 to 5. Make sense? All right.
Yeah.
So makeover montage, 0 to 5%.
So, all right. So what montage? There were a couple montages in this one.
Not a lot of makeovers, though.
I would say for me, the one that like qualified as like a makeover montage was either the wedding montage.
Yeah.
That one. Or even like her, her with, what's her name? With Gail, of like her being like, oh, we're being taken to the thing.
And like leaving her job, getting on the plane.
Yeah, yeah, like and that music all of that. And then like, and now you're on stage. Yeah. Like that's a crazy makeover to go from caterer to star.
That's true. I think there's a montage. There's an actual montage where they're going from like concert to concert.
Right.
And she kind of gets she gets more and more like kind of comfortable
becomes
and like
part of the
stylish.
Band.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a hat on by the end of it, which is like, that's how you know you're.
Her styling when she's in the band is pretty rough.
Oh,
that white shirt with the like flowers on it. Like, this is Gaga? What is happening?
that's called acting.
That's acting. This is Ally. Mm-hmm. Okay. I see Ally.
And I believed that she had bad style.
Absolutely.
In the movie. Like, I was like, oh, she's selling it to me. Like, this is a character.
A defining trait.
Yeah.
So what do we think we should give it? Maybe like a 3? Because there's no true, but there's a lot of montages and there's slight, you know, transition. I would give it
I mean, the whole movie is kind of a makeover movie.
Okay.
Right. That argument's been made before.
It never works.
To little effect. I would say three. Okay, three I would give three. Sounds good.
Three.
To me.
All right. We're giving it a three. All right. Next one. Angry phone hangups.
There were angry phone hangups.
There's the very first one with Allie on the phone with her ex in the beginning.
She's like, Roger, we're done.
I love that scene. She's like, you're a great lawyer. That's like the first line in the movie. She tells him he's a great lawyer.
Were there other ones beyond that?
That's the only one I wrote down. It's that tough thing of one, it's most cell phones, it's harder to really sort of get an angry phone.
You gotta like
phone.
Throw it against a wall or something.
Yeah.
So what do we want to give it?
I'd say one for that one.
One?
1%?
I feel like higher.
I could do two. Four. I could do two.
Two,
right, let's
two.
Do two.
All right, let's give it two. All right, great. All right, titular theme song. Well, there is no one says A Star Is Born, and now.
We're in the shallows, right?
Yeah, but there are like iconic songs, so I don't think it's fair to give it a zero. But it's also not fair to give it a five.
I agree with that. I mean, I feel like shallow is like that. Like we've talked about this in the past, where like. Oh, yeah, like Wind Beneath My Wings isn't the name of that movie, but you think of beaches and you think of that song.
Yeah.
And so, like, having that, or like, My Heart Will Go On is not the name of Titanic.
What is love theme from Titanic, though, in the parentheses?
That's true, yes. That's the backdoor we got on that one. but, yeah, I mean, like, Shallow is always going to be, like, associated with this movie. Also, like, that shot where she is walking in that, you know, in that alleyway, she's singing I don't know if you knew this, she's singing the introduction to Over the Rainbow, which is
I didn't know that.
All right, just wasn't sure. It's just part of the opening. I would say four for me. It's like four for this one.
I would say four.
I'm
is
fine
good.
With four.
All right.
All right. Next one. Fun fonts.
Oh,
the title reveal itself is
the
fantastic.
Title reveal was really fun.
I like how the titles themselves are so big, but the sound is so quiet. It has more impact that way.
Absolutely,
I love it.
It's great. It's hard to
really
get more.
Fun.
It's really that. I guess some of like well, the billboard.
The billboard.
The billboard, that's a fun font.
We don't see like a lot of like album covers.
No.
There's
like
some posters
marquees.
In his hallway.
Yeah.
Right, but we don't really get to look at those.
No,
just
not really.
Those two. I don't think we can quite give it a five.
Oh, you know what's a really fun font?
Go on.
Her shirt that says, oh.
That's true. That's fun.
That's like, that is
the
like
the triggering
shirt
she wore. Yeah.
That is like literally like the funnest font I've ever seen. It could have had a curly Q on it. I don't
know.
That's true.
That was the vibe.
So what do we want to give it?
This feels like three to me, maybe.
I would say three.
Really? I was going to go four, but all right.
Oh, maybe four, maybe four.
I mean, I think that title sequence is pretty awesome.
It's like, it's iconic.
All right, yeah. Let's go four.
All right, we're going
I think
four.
We should
it's
go
more
four.
Impact than that.
More
amount.
Impact. All right, next category. Cheerworthy cameos. Were we cheering for Alec Baldwin? I wasn't. Maybe eye rolling.
Sure, but the idea you're like, oh look, Alec Baldwin's here.
But were you cheering?
Well, I was cheering because then there was someone to put in for cheerworthy cameos.
No,
I mean,
but much like Kate said earlier, like, oh, Alec Baldwin on SNL is not something that you're like, oh my god, when does this happen? It happens a lot.
Halsey.
Halsey.
Anyone cheering for Halsey?
I didn't notice Halsey.
Counts. She
introduces the award at the Grammy.
Oh. Iconic Halsey.
I couldn't pick Halsey out of a lineup. I'm so sorry.
I mean, the thing about this movie is that there's like not that many fun. I mean, Alec Baldwin was a surprise cameo.
Sure.
But I don't know if that was like, I don't know if I was.
There's
like,
also Brandi Carlile for all you alt country fans. Singing Pretty Woman.
Oh, I didn't know that was her.
Yeah. And that other guy, I don't know who he is. I was pleasantly surprised to see Ron Rifkin. I don't think that's quite a cameo because he's in
more
than one scene.
No, it's a little more than typical. Yeah,
who's that?
He was on Alias with Bradley Cooper. He's the guy who runs. So like Bradley Cooper's first big break. The guy who was on like that's a fun thing. So what are we going to give this?
Easter egg.
A little Easter egg. What do we want to give this for cheerworthy cameos? Maybe not a five.
Well, I think we got two: Alec Baldwin and Halsey.
And Brandi Carlile, thank you very much.
Then we'll go to three if you want to do that.
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay.
That is not
he's
a
more
cameo.
Than cameo, though. Is the yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do we want to give it then?
Oh, the drag queens are also those are
in more
cheer-worthy.
Than one scene, though.
You think
that's, okay.
that's he likes to hold firm on that.
What's a cameo?
I think if we want to go one for each person, then we can do three.
Yeah.
Three. All right. Let's give it three. All right. Next category: pool trouble. There's a pool. No real trouble.
There was that fight in that big bathtub. There was like a big bathtub.
Yeah, it was a pool-ish bathtub.
That's a bathtub, though, not a pool. You call a pool a bathtub a pool?
Well, it's a big house, and it was a big tub. And that like, I don't tub have, was like, not a that hard, big. I don't have like a hard number where a pool becomes a bathtub, but there was.
I think if there's a door
in a body
on
of water. Oh, lots of pools have curtains. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never. You are talking.
So
out
an indoor
of your
pool
asshole.
Is not a pool. It's just a large tub.
There's a pool of pee-pee at his feet.
Yeah, if there's a toilet within arm's reach, it's a bathtub.
It could be a mini pool. You don't know. But yeah, the pool of urine, I think that's definitely some trouble he's in.
It should get something for the pool in the rehab because
that's a sign of anti-trouble. That's a sign of healing, if anything. That's a pool healing, not pool trouble.
But maybe it's a sign that people were in trouble and need a pool to heal.
I don't think that's true. Yeah. No.
Well, why is he even
there?
It's
not pool,
comma,
exactly. Trouble. It's pool trouble. Is there trouble in a pool?
Well, I
Gremlins
remember
too. Gremlins is the 100.
Okay, there's not that much pool.
Yeah, but
trouble.
It's also not 100. It's 1 to 5 now.
0 to 5.
Excuse me, 0 to 5.
So what do you
want? Maybe one.
I think
maybe one.
All
right, fine. Because there's a pool.
One. Yeah.
All right, next category. Sassy best friend. Well, all those drag queens.
All those drag queens. Yeah. Anthony Ramos is pretty sassy.
Yeah,
although,
yeah he's pretty sassy.
There's a lot. All the dad's friends, Andrew Dice Clay's
friends. Oh, they're so sassy.
Yeah.
I think a 5.
I'd say 5.
5 seems high, but okay.
What more do you got? Willem and Shangela? What more do you need?
Yeah,
Jesus
but they're just
Christ.
In that first third.
They
and then
show
they go
up
away.
Later.
Okay, they're all right, fine. Timing. Let's go 5. 5, I love it.
All right, next category. A bold lip.
Oh.
A lot of the drag queens again.
A lot of drag queens.
She's wearing a bright red lip in that opening.
The Beyond
number.
Rose.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's about it. Everything else is kind of muted like the rest of the movie.
Yeah, just Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
In his very specific tanning.
In a way, Sam Elliott has a bold lip with that mustache.
That's true. That's the iconic wig of this movie.
Do you think it was a wig?
Yeah. A merkin? What's a merkin? That's not a merkin.
You could wear it as a
but it's a bold lip.
That's a bold lip, Sam Elliott.
That's a bold lip.
So what do you want to give it?
I would 4 or 5. 4.
I go 4 or 5 for Elliott.
I do 4.
All right, 4.
Okay, 4. All right, next category. Witches. Are there any witches? Anything witchy? I didn't get anything for witches.
Not really, no.
Nothing spooky, nothing casting spells.
Not a single moment of magic.
Not one moment of magic. Unless Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. So I guess sounds like we're giving it 0.
I think it's got to go 0 for witch.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sadly.
All right, next category. How Korean is it? How Korean is Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born? It's not very Korean, I don't think.
No.
0, probably.
She doesn't even like do like a tour through Asia or something
she
like that.
She doesn't even do
No, it's European tour only.
Yeah.
All right, we're giving it 0. All right, next category, felt. How much felt is in the movie?
I mean, the hat.
The hat.
The cowboy
super
hat.
Felt.
That's like super felt, super iconic.
Ramon's jacket in the drag bar looked kind of, he had like that rose fabric.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, definitely.
But not a huge amount of felt in this movie.
There's a lot of flags in the music festival.
Sure.
I think those are more cotton, though, right?
Yeah, they're not so felt.
They look kind of stiff.
But like those, like sort of like flat, you know, those things that like cover you while you stand in the wings. Those like curtains.
Yeah,
those drapes. Well,
the wings.
A felty drape.
So, what do you want to give it for felt?
1.
I think 1 for the hat.
1 is for the iconic hat. All right, next category, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, all those drag queens, Ramon.
But not Ramon. No.
So it's not a 0.
But we've got, who do we have? We have Willem, Shangela.
I assume all
those
the
are
other
two
ones.
Two big ones.
Yeah.
I assume they all are and 2, then, but we don't know them at all.
Yeah, we don't know for sure.
But, so
I would
want
say,
to get 4?
I would say 2 for those two characters, right?
That so it caps at 5? What if they had 20? Then you can't go more than 5.
Okay.
I feel like 3 or 4.
Okay. You wanted to go 4?
I would think 4, yeah.
For those two characters?
Yeah, the whole
then what if
they're
20? Okay. the choreographer.
Four. I was just thinking, like, compared to, like, something like Tu Wong Fu. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next category. Themes of mothers.
Oh, there's no mothers at all.
It's all about fathers. There's an absence of mothers.
Yeah.
It's like not even, like, a felt absence of a mother. Correct. It's like a complete absence. Yeah. Like, it's not even like the absence doesn't even matter. Like, it's like,
no,
it's like a Disney levels of, like, there's no, not even Disney levels. Yeah. At least those moms are explicitly dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to give it a zero.
Yeah. It's got to go zero. It is entirely about dads.
It's
starkly motherless.
Bereft of mothers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category. A feels song. Is there a song in Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born that puts you in your feels?
I mean, definitely.
Which one?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's I'll Always Remember Us This Way is, like, the one that is just written to do that. But I think also, like, his song has a very, you know, like,
what if we
blowing in the wind. Yeah, like, maybe it's time. Yeah. Like, that feels like it's supposed to be very nostalgic for, like, a simpler time.
Yeah.
But I think
I feel like I've cried at, like, all of these songs.
Mm-hmm. I love Is That Alright? That's a great one.
That's a good one.
Some of the songs in the soundtrack don't seem to be in the movie. Am I crazy?
They're probably were written for the movie or were going to be done. But, like, if you think about if it was just songs from the movie, it probably wouldn't be that long of an album.
Well, God forbid an album's 40 minutes. Hello, Purple Rain.
Okay. Well,
Is That Alright? Is the credit song.
Ah.
So it's that not, it wouldn't be eligible for an Oscar anymore. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so.
And then, I mean, also, I'm not a fan of it, but that last song that she sings at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
The Diane Warren song is built to be like a feel song.
Diane Warren actually co-wrote the Why'd You Do That song, too. The one she sings on SNL, that's also a Diane Warren co-write. Oh, funny.
The one that was supposed to be the shitty song. They're like, Diane, could you help us write this song that's supposed to be shitty
but
in the script?
I think she thought.
You, of course, will make it brilliant because you're Diane Warren and you can't not.
Didn't she give some interview where she was like, no, it's not shitty.
I don't think it is shitty. I think it's super
what
fun.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. I like the, why did you do that? Hair body face, though, is the best.
Hair body face. So what do we want to give this for a feel face. Song? I feel like it's got to be a five.
I feel
five.
Yeah,
we can go five on this one.
I've sobbed it.
You have the receipts.
And the last song. I've sobbed. Tears streaming down my face.
All right, next category, gossip, right up your alley. How much gossip is in A Star Is Born?
I mean, like, that you see
the only thing, the manager telling Jack, like, do you know what we had to do to, like, clean up this mess?
That's a little
gossipy.
Yeah, that's gossipy.
I think there's a lot of sort of gossipy and, like, in that sort of backstabbiness.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not like Mean Girls.
Correct.
There are more gossipy movies.
I mean, just the fact that they're celebrities, though, is kind of like a gossip.
I mean, there was also gossip around the movie itself. Like, are Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga dating? Are they really hooking up? What is happening?
Yeah, you could say that their chemistry was gossipy.
It was burning off the screen.
Yeah. Life imitated art.
What, for once. So what do you want to give this for gossip?
I still think I wouldn't go higher than three.
Okay, three sounds fair.
Three's fine. Great. All right, next one. Positive portrayals of homosexuality, a 15% bonus.
Oh.
Okay.
I think this does, right? Yeah. If this doesn't.
The gay characters are all supportive. They're her friends. Like,
Right. That's true.
He calls it like a drag bar. He you know what I mean?
He's very respectful and he's gay. Clearly, he's down.
There's never any moment of like, well, if you're gay, this is what your life, if you're making that choice.
It makes it seem like the drag bar is like the cool spot in town.
Right, yeah.
I guess so. I feel like, now this one has to be 15%, correct?
I believe that's how we're doing it, yes.
That's how it's canonly formed. I mean, I agree with everything everyone's saying. It doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like a movie about like how great it is to be gay or like celebrating gayness, which
no,
is
but that's not
fine.
The category. The category is
I understand.
Positive portrayals.
I understand that. I'm just saying that it's I feel like it's giving me slight pause, but not huge pause.
Keep
I
in mind,
I feel like
only
I want to
like
talk about it.
Two movies have gotten this in our like 50 movies. And here is one that actually has something.
And I'm trying to talk us out of it.
That should be recognized.
All right, then. I think this qualifies as a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Then, this
do
movie.
You, John?
I do. I don't want to seem like it's not or I'm being bad about
it's
it.
It's definitely not negative and it's not ambivalent. They're made to be cool, regular, awesome, good,
right,
friends,
helpful,
you know?
Fun.
And they're kind of
people.
Like a, it's like a chosen family vibe. Absolutely. With her and her.
Fair
her
enough.
Gay
all right.
Guy friends.
All right. I'm on board. You've convinced me. I'm on board.
I've convinced John a very rare 15% bonus. All right. And then finally.
Okay. Here's a tough one.
-50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising. Therefore, thank it will God. Not be penalized 50% of its score.
That's my favorite rule.
All right.
It gets me every time.
Oh, no, 50.
All right. All so right. Then, out of a possible 2,760.86%, A Star Is Born has scored 2,169.86%, giving it a percentage of 70.45. Not as gay as Funny Girl, but gayer than Muppets Take Manhattan.
Wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Oh, what an honor.
What a shakeup is
it.
Happening.
I know,
number
this
two.
New system. Wow. How do you feel?
I feel so proud. I feel so proud.
Well, thank you so much for
oh,
doing
what a delight. This was such
on.
a great movie to watch.
Oh, thanks for indulging it.
Of course. It's never
it's indulgent at all. No.
One of my all-time faves.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Yeah, just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Kate Raft, and then watch my daily live Twitch morning show at twitch.tv/jackam. And I've got an episode out on for Thundercats Roar. You can watch it on the Cartoon Network app, and there's going to be more coming down the pipeline. Stay tuned.
Nice.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you again.
Also, Celebrity News Ride Home is truly one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh,
the
thank you so much.
It's truly a delight. Everyone should. It's like 15 minutes. You get all this gossip you want, but it's fun, never trashy. It's great.
I love doing it. Also, oh, I should plug this podcast is Self Care that I do with Drew Spears.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Too many plugs.
All right. Well, John, we're going to say this in unison.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
We're back. Crushing it as always.
We have got this down.
Yes, technology is ours. Speaking of, we're re-recording this outro because for two reasons. One, to let you know that we've put together we know the audio is a little rough right now. We're working on it. So thank you for your patience and thank you for your understanding. There are a few rough spots that happened earlier in this episode. We did the best we could with all the piecing together that we're doing and with the fact that we're learning how this all goes together. But thank you for your patience. But also, there's another more important reason we had to re-record this ending. Mark, why don't you tell everyone what that reason
is? I would be more than happy to. There was a issue with the spreadsheet because at the end, I noticed A Star Is Born had a higher subtotal and then it also had a higher number of bonus points. I was like, well, then why is it less than, why did it do worse than Funny Girl? That doesn't make sense. So I called up my brother at 9 at night. We figured
nine
it out.
At night? He's in bed by then.
He was still up. So we tweaked, there was an issue with one of the formulas was off. So in reality, out of a possible 2,760.86 points, A Star Is Born has scored 2,169.86, giving it a percentage of 78.59, making it the number one gayest movie ever. Certainly gayer than Funny Girl.
Wow. So wow, you really played with the math to make that happen.
I did nothing.
I think there might have been a thumb on a scale somewhere in all of this. I'm not sure.
No. I would never have weight to a while. Scale. Are you kidding? That's a RuPaul style joke.
Uh-huh.
So we have a new number one. 2 weeks in a row.
Another new number one. Oh my goodness. It's a quarantine outside, but on Tool Queens, it's a party? I don't know.
An orgy of a pit? I don't know.
Let's keep going. We'll figure it out. So great. Congratulations. We'll have to tell Kate. Or let's not tell her. And let's see when she listens to this podcast. Let's test our guest. Oh, great. Okay, great. So she's a fan. All right, cool. Well, great. All right. Well, we have some fun feedback we want to read out loud. From our, what is it, Apple Music, iTunes, whatever it's called right now, putting the old into old queens right now. We've got a post from Lindsay Binzi. She writes, 124 ratings. My first thought when I came to rate these two old queens was 124 ratings only, in Mark Rennie voice. This podcast has everything. Strident women, broken glass, felt, mannequins. For real, though, I'm consistently laughing out loud and was nearly in tears for the submarine episode. Keep doing God's work and set up a Patreon. Thank you, Lindsay Binzi.
From your lips to God's ears. Yes. I believe God is the one who gives you a Patreon.
Yep. Yeah, you have to get God's permission to get a Patreon. It's a very weird Byzantine system.
We should say, what would you want from a Patreon from us?
Yeah, we've been talking about doing a Patreon. We're not sure what it is that we want to do. What do you guys think? Do you want more of the same? Do you want different stuff?
We could do a whole, like, all the Lord of the Rings movies.
We could do that.
Start from scratch with a new scoring system.
Maybe a new scoring system. Maybe we don't do movies. Maybe, like, what's the gayest ice cream? I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know what you would pay money to hear us talk about.
Rainbow Sherbert. That's easy.
Okay, well.
Or Rocky Road. Hello, Jimmy.
The road gets rougher. We also have an email from Pearl. Her email is titled Movie Suggestion. She says, hey there, my husband and I love your show. Thank you, Pearl, and your husband. He is the one that turned me on to it, and he found you from High and Mighty. Thank you, High and Mighty with John Gabris. My favorite movie ever is Wet Hot American Summer, and I think it would score highly with your wonderful system. I would be thrilled if you all reviewed this movie. Lots of love, Pearl. Thank you, Pearl. It's very sweet. I think Wet Hot American Summer would do very good.
If I do well, I don't think it'd be number one.
I don't think it'd be number one, but it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Also has Bradley Cooper.
Sure, and it has a montage where they go do heroin.
Yep, so that's perfect. Fun. That's a kind of a makeover.
Of the sorts, yes.
Of having a future to not much, maybe. Who knows? I don't want to judge. Yes. No.
Don't judge heroin addicts.
That's, you're right, I apologize.
They are thriving.
All right, so that's it. If you have any questions or thoughts or anything you want to let us know, you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, T-W-O, Old Queens. Also, if you want, on Letterboxd, that's an app, Letterboxd. Have you heard of this song?
I have. I've
compiled, there's a running list of the current rankings of all the movies that you can see on my profile. So just look up Mark Rennie on Letterboxd. It's fun. It looks pretty. It's nice.
What more do you want?
What more can we give you?
All right, so that's it, and so we will see you next week.
We don't know who we have next week or what movie yet, but we're running.
Follow us on the socials, and we'll find out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All righty, thank you so much, and
stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe, stay clean, wash your hands.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.